The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
And now your host, Chicago Reader columnist Ben Jarofsky.
I thought you were going to say, not a green gardening guru.
That was the first hour.
I got to tell you what, he went to radio school. He knows his stuff. Yes, indeed, Mike Novak and Monroe Anderson in the studio were talking about what's going down in the halls of Congress today. And is it working was the question. The Democrats calling attention to Donald Trump's wheeling and dealing with the president of Ukraine. Is it working? Before we get into that, D, an update from you, sir.
Yeah, I have an update here. This is actually happening as we're doing the show live here, so we're going to try and keep you up to date as best as we can. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot says that Uber is paying off black ministers to oppose her rideshare tax and policies, saying that the company is throwing everything it can at the wall because it doesn't want to be regulated. The following comes from the Chicago Sun-Times. The hardest working man in this building, Dave Roeder. He's awesome.
Roeder, he'll be coming in tomorrow.
Oh, he'll be talking about this. Great. And the one and only Fran the Woman Spielman. Mayor Lori Lightfoot today shot down an alternative congestion fee floated by Uber and accused the ride-hailing giant of offering black ministers $54 million to carry the ride-hailing giant's water.
$54
million? $54 million. Whoa. Lightfoot dropped the political bombshell at a City Hall news conference when asked about that tax plan. Uber claims would raise $21 million more than Lightfoot's congestion fee because it would apply to taxes as well as ride hailing. The mayor said, quote, "Is this the one where they're paying off black ministers by $54 million? That one? Or is this a new one?" The mayor said they offered up black ministers $54 million, a one-time deal, if they would convince the mayor to do away with any other kind of regulation. And as we walked these ministers through the realities of what it's actually at stake here, I think they realized that, frankly, they'd be hoodwinked.
$54 million? How does she know that?
That's correct.
Wow. She could have got him at 5.4.
Monroe Anderson, very jaded observer of the connections between politicians, businesses, and black ministers in the city of Chicago.
When pressed for proof here, Lightfoot said, quote, "I've had a number of ministers who've met with us and said Uber promised us $54 million. If you convince the mayor to back off, we'll get those names to you."
All right. Whoa. Mayor Lightfoot's. Okay. Now, just think about this for a second, Mike and Monroe. Just think about this for a second. Let's say it's true.
Okay.
Let's just say it's true that Uber offered a black minister's $54 million. I find that a preposterous notion.
Me too. Well, the money, the amount.
Yeah. The amount is preposterous.
Yeah, exactly.
But just how would you go about allocating it? You know, how would you conceal a transfer of that?
Oh, the way you do it is give them housing projects.
But Uber doesn't control housing projects. No, that'd be the city of Chicago that controls it.
No, I'm talking about in the sense of building new housing in the black community. What you do is funnel that money through contractors.
But that would be the city of Chicago that would do that, not Uber. Uber doesn't
Uber could give them the money to do it. And they would build some housing to
justify. In other words, they would have a press conference and they'd say Uber is sanctioning.
No, they wouldn't say Uber. They'd say we're building.
I see.
We have this $54 million housing throughout the South and West Side.
Did I tell you that?
Or there's going to be one minister that has a really great house.
Has one of those Donald Trump types.
Monroe Anderson knows a thing or two about Chicago politics, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So then my second question is this. Let's say it's true.
Yeah.
Let's say that someone from Uber called a black minister or a bunch of them and said, all right, here's the deal, guys. If you put the pressure on Lori Lightfoot drop away from abandon her plan to tax Uber, we'll give you $54 million, okay? Just think about how much that tax is worth to Uber. Just think about that. If they're willing to spend
what would the tax amount to?
Exactly.
What
no, that's total? Why I don't believe the number.
You don't
that's
think
why I'm
that,
joking.
You don't,
it's not
you don't,
$54 million.
You don't think it's $54 million
no.
dollars a year?
No.
Or forever?
Right, exactly.
I think
right.
it's like $5.40 if we're going to just stick with the five and the four. We'll buy you lunch.
Well, that was the first thing that popped into my head, and I thought, well, I'm just being naive, but you agree with that. You just think that's a crazy number.
Yes.
So who does it benefit to come up with a number like $54 million? Who's, you know, what kind of strategy is that to say that? I mean,
I'm guessing mm-hmm. what the mayor is thinking is, okay, well, some of these ministers are pressuring her, and she wants to have this tax because she needs every penny she can get from wherever to pay down mm-hmm. the deficit. Mm-hmm. So she just pulled the number out of the sky or some other place else.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's just,
what's it? Well, that reminds me of the time when mayor's throwing out dollar signs. I remember when the Mayor Daley, Mayor Richard M. Daley, Mike Novak's favorite mayor, just threw that out there.
Richie the Deuce.
Okay. Wanted to convince people that selling the parking meters was a great idea. And so they came up with the number, $1 billion.
Right.
This is already a little more than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think they leaked it to Snead in the Sun-Times that they're $1 billion. And I think their thought was people in the city of Chicago would see $1 billion and they'd be like, God. Whoa,
yes.
What a windfall.
That's billion with a B.
That's what people in the city of Chicago would do. Right. They go, billion with a B? Right. Sell the meters, yeah. And here we are, whatever it is, 10 years into the meter deal and the parking meter deal. People have already made back the $1 billion.
They made it back in year one, didn't they?
No, it took a little more than year one. But they've made it back. Everything's gravy okay. from now on.
Right.
And so it essentially was a loan that the parking meters companies gave to the city of Chicago, and now we'll be paying the interest in that loan for the next 65 years
oh, yeah.
by giving them all the proceeds from a parking meter.
I still don't understand why a smart lawyer couldn't break that contract. I still don't get it.
Well, if
I just don't think they want to, and I'm not sure. But
there you go. You answered your own question.
Because I actually thought that Rahm Emanuel might try to do that, and then he would have been a hero, and then the rest of his term is smooth sailing, right? But that just sank beneath the waves.
You are so smart. You are so right. Mike Novak, let it be known, you're right. Rahm Emanuel could have been a hero, but this is one of my favorite things. Every time Rahm Emanuel, here we go. You got me going on him, particularly in that first term. Here we go. Every time Rahm Emanuel was confronted between doing the right thing and doing the wrong thing, he did the wrong thing.
That had a lot to do with him being a corporationalist.
Well, fine. You're getting an explanation for why he did the wrong thing.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'm just saying.
For a specific reason.
He could have been the hero, politically speaking, even if it failed.
He didn't care about the people.
No. He didn't.
Take a chill pill, Matt.
He was not. Yeah, exactly. He was not a people person.
By the way, Mike Novak has told me I'm not allowed to mention Wally Phillips. But is he channeling the great Wally Phillips right now?
He is. This is Wally started that, and I picked it up, and now Dennis is running with
it. It's just unbelievable. First of all,
anti-millennial.
Millennials are who? Wally who? Wally Phillips.
I am who I am.
Nice kid, Kerry. I didn't even know who that is.
I thought it was I am what I am.
Yeah, right. That was wrong.
Right.
That was
I
wrong.
I am who I am.
Oh, okay.
All right, guys. Lay off of Dr. D because he's cool.
Yeah, no, he is cool.
Everyone knows what's up.
But anyway.
I want to throw one more reference in there. You talked about throwing dollar signs around. Is that better than throwing around nickels like manhole covers?
That would be Michael Keller-Dicka talking about George Halas. Am I correct on that?
I believe you are.
That's correct.
I knew you would know that one.
I'm really weird. But but anyway, Wally Phillips back in the day and channel on WGN would have the
WGN Radio.
WGN Radio, correct.
Because they actually tried to do a TV show. He didn't make it in television, so he went back.
I did not know
like
that.
Way in the early days.
Oh, yeah. I am like this guy.
Well, you have as much hair as Wally had.
Anyway, he always had those funny voices, and I've said this before when we had a work, the boss made us listen to WGN. I was in high school, and I wanted to listen to WCFL, WLS, and
sure.
Pop, and they were making me listen to Wally Phillips.
And I apologize.
And Roy Leonard. But the highlight of the day was when Wally Phillips would have those little voices.
And I'm thinking, well, okay, now, folks should know, and by the way, my name is Mike Novak, and I have a radio show in Chicago on WCGO 1590 AM and FM. The FM is 95.9. Sunday mornings, 9 to 11 AM, we talk about gardening, the environment, sustainability, all that good stuff. Okay.
That's how you do an introduction.
Okay. However, and yeah, tune in, folks. There's podcasts. We're all over the place. All right. Like you guys are, you know.
Are you taking notes on that introduction, Ben?
Yes.
Conquering the internet world. But for 25 years, I worked at WGN. Radio, all right? And for the last 9 years of Wally's career, I was his engineer. And what folks, I still think folks don't understand that those voices that popped in, most of the time, we had carte blanche to throw in whatever we wanted. And Wally would roll with it. Even towards the end, he was really very sharp. Now, he was a lot corny, of course. And, you know, when Steve Dahl and Gary Meyer came around, they poked fun at him, and they were the new generation and so forth. And there I was in my 30s working, running the board for Wally Phillips going, well, I'm on the wrong team here, but they paid me well and it was fun.
And so you were his Maceo, huh? You know how James Brown would call out to Maceo?
Yeah, right.
And right. In fact, Maceo played the music and James Brown would walk in on a session and go, jump, kiss.
No, he was more like the guy who introduced James Brown, whose name I can't remember right now.
That wasn't Maceo?
No, Maceo did not. Maceo was the sax player.
Yeah, I know. And, but he wasn't doing, wasn't he making up the music too?
James Brown did a little of his own songwriting, but
not
there was like,
much.
Who was the guy that introduced James Brown?
Do the Good Foot. Okay, give me the lyrics to do the Good Foot.
I think you just said the lyrics
right,
to
exactly,
do the Good Foot.
Right, exactly.
My
point is, made.
So anyway, finish your point, young Michael.
Oh, well, I think I finished my point. I mean, it was.
That he was doing the same thing.
I was behind the scenes, you know, behind the glass, I'm going to tell some sort of stories out of school here. You'll love this because when I came in there, Wally had been at the top of the Chicago radio for 20 years. Okay, I mean, he had numbers that nobody had before and will never have again. And I come late. I grew up in Detroit. I listened to J.P. McCarthy at WJR. I didn't know who Wally Phillips was, and the chief engineer says, hey, because he knew I was running a theater company, and he said, you're kind of a creative guy. You want to be Wally's engineer, too? And I said, sure, not knowing what that meant. And so I started doing that with some of the other guys there who had been doing it for years. What I was told when I came in, what was kind of interesting, he said, you never talk to Wally. Do not ever talk to Wally. And I was like, what? Yeah. That's nutty. That's crazy. And so I would get on the IFB, hey, Wally, I want to try this thing out. And Wally responded. He loved it. And I said, well, why were they telling me you never talk to Wally? I talk to Wally all the time. So we had a pretty good relationship.
Well, that's how it works here, by the way. No one's allowed to talk to me. You only got to go through Dennis. Okay? Don't talk to me. I'm too important.
He's a diva. You let that Steve Harvey story get to his head.
I have a Wally Phillips story.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
When Harold was running for mayor in Washington, the final days, he was supposed to appear on Wally's show.
Oh, I know the story. Go ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he got tied up in other things, and he did not show.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, and I'm one of the reporters that's following him around. And it was impossible to follow him around. And I'm in my private car, you know, he has his entourage. Mm-hmm. And we go someplace and you have to find a parking space. And that might take who knows how long, depending on where it was. Mm-hmm. and they didn't have cell phones or anything like that. So I hadn't called in to talk to the desk to tell them why he had missed the Wally Phillips show. And that was because he was at some other stop and just overstayed. Well, and so they freaked out, to this day, I've never heard of Wally Phillips show. I mean, I grew up on VON. Sure. I mean, I grew up on a completely different media.
Yes.
So I knew Wally Phillips by name, but not one. I had not spent 2 minutes listening to Wally Phillips.
And this is perfect because that you're saying this, because when Harold ran in 83, Chicago was perhaps even more racially divided than it is now. And it was as though there was a wall that went down the middle of the city and separated black and white culture from each other.
Right.
So black people had their radio stations.
Right.
White people had their radio stations.
Right.
Wally Phillips was the number one entertainer on radio, but number two would probably be some black guy.
Yeah.
And white people would be listening to Wally Phillips, and black people would be listening. And so it was so, to the black guy, and it was so important for Harold Washington running as the black man for mayor to get on the Wally Phillips show so that white people could realize that he too was a human being, Harold Washington, And he missed the way it was. And so Wally Phillips, and as Mike Novak can tell you, there are few things in life worse than if you're a radio host and somebody doesn't show up.
But the thing is, Harold was getting his vote out. He didn't need to go to Wally Phillips. That's the truth of the matter. After he won the primary, I went on some white radio station. It may have been LS. I can't remember now. It's as a Tribune reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And the white listeners were calling in, and they were so upset that I felt sorry and started trying to explain to them how this happened, because they couldn't believe it happened.
That he had won. Oh, he had won. I thought he had won.
No. They were telling, they just couldn't, you know. So I finally, which really endeared me with my editor, I said to them, I mean, this one woman was so upset. I said, the problem is the media did not educate you guys enough on who Harold was and what he was doing.
You threw the media under the bus?
Yeah, right.
Monroe in trouble. Exactly. There goes the media.
I was in trouble too.
By the way, I always forget which reporter did you give his start to? I always forget. Was it Cass or Axelrod? Which one knows his career to you?
Yes, Cass.
Oh, Cass. All right. Yeah. Did he thank you yet?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's what I thought. No. let's love doing
no.
it.
No. Oh, did you? Actually, he did me a favor when I was press secretary. He called in and told me about the brouhaha at the art museum over there.
Yeah, you told me that already. Okay, yeah, I guess he figured, that took care of me getting the job from him.
So you haven't finished the Wally story, though, and Harold, right?
Yeah, so Harold missed the show. And actually, Monroe, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. Harold needed black vote alone with Hispanic vote was not enough to make Harold the mayor to defeat Bernie Epstein. He needed some white votes.
They weren't on WGN.
This is a valid point. That is a valid point. That is an interesting point. Could he have won without any WGN white people? I have to think about that one. That is an interesting point. Just like your basic run-of-the-mill lefty who doesn't listen to, who thinks, well, it makes fun of Wally Phillips, you know, whatever. Maybe that person would have. But I don't even know if a Steve Dahl listener was voting. In fact, I doubt the Steve Dahl.
How often did old candidate Obama go on Fox?
Didn't he go on Fox?
Once or twice.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't getting any Fox viewers.
Well, anyway.
So what was I doing voting for Harold Washington? That's just crazy, I guess.
Well, you were a young liberal white guy.
Yeah, that's true.
I knew you. I knew him back then, okay?
We played softball together back then.
He had, center field. And
you're not doing it anymore?
No, I am. I still play softball. Right. Yeah.
I think he was late for his show in the summer because he had a softball game.
Give him a break.
No, he's playing hardball. He should call me out because I stiffed him the last time, and it wasn't like the day of. I did say the night before, hey, I don't think I'm going to be there. And if somebody did that to me, I'd never speak to him again. So I can't believe that I'm back on the show.
No, come on. I'm not like that. Anyway, so anyway, with the Wally Phillips show, Harold did go back on the Wally Phillips show.
Yeah.
And but I remember when it happened, just like, oh my God, white Chicago and black Chicago. Like, white people are freaking out even more now than they were before. And white people were losing their minds over Harold anyway.
Right.
And now you had Wally Phillips going, this has never happened in like 5 billion years that someone stiffed me or whatever. And I just, as a guy who really wanted Harold to win, I was agonizing over it. But then Harold went on, and my memory is correct, and memory's a funny thing, Mike Novak, but my memory is that Harold charmed Wally Phillips, because Harold Washington was a very charming.
I don't remember that incident. It might have been before my time.
Because I
didn't start till the end of 83 at GN. So
yeah. Well, anyway, Harold Washington. We have his bust of him here on the show. But I don't know how we got off.
But you know,
that
you were
tangent.
Talking about people freaking out over Harold Washington, who, as you know, Monroe had a history. I was freaking out, honestly, that they could find somebody in an alley named Bernie Epton and put him in, and he would have a real shot at being mayor of Chicago.
Yes.
I mean, what the heck was that all about?
It's called white fear.
I know it is, but it was appalling.
Yeah.
It really was.
And there's a lot of parallels to what's going on with Trump right now.
Yeah.
Trump's support is rooted a lot of fear. That's what Trump plays upon when he talks about rapists coming across the border.
It's exactly the same thing. And it's amazing. Now we've been 35 years watching the same playbook.
Right.
And it doesn't seem to change. And now it's worse because Trump's revived it. Let's get the fear of the other. You know, while we're sitting here, they're having these impeachment hearings. And the thing, you know, because you told me we were going to talk about this a little bit, and the thing that just pops into my head is the man, and I'm talking about the guy in the White House, has no dignity at all. None. And that's the thing that just makes me scratch my head, that 44% of people in America don't care.
Well, what's happened And over the years is the victimization of white people. They used to not be victims, and now there is this group of losers mainly who are victims, and so they love it that Trump is telling it like it is.
Well, I'm actually going to say that the victimization of white people was alive when Harold Washington ran in 1983. And allow me to the parallel.
Oh, yeah,
sure,
about
sure.
No,
because
same
if you,
thing.
That started
yeah.
in
if
the
you,
60s.
If you criticized white people in Chicago back in 1983, let me go back. If you criticized white Democrats in 1983, lifelong Democrats, always voted for the Democrats, suddenly a black man, a black Democrat, is their candidate, their party's candidate for mayor of Chicago, and they're going to vote for a Republican,
well,
a white Republican.
They became
Republicans overnight.
Literally.
If you criticize them for that, they would counter with all kinds of things where they were the victims. Like, well, you don't know. I mean, it'd be like absurd things like, my brother was mugged by a black guy.
Right.
First of all, who knows if it was even true, but what does that have to do with Harold Washington?
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Like, but there was a reason. Well, it just doesn't come out of anywhere. And then they would counter it. You're an elitist. You're a snob. You're a lakefront liberal. And it's exactly the game that
it's
Trump's playing right now. It's like
exactly
counterattacks anybody to
you're never Trumper.
You're a never Trumper.
I'm never Trumper.
Yeah, right.
And apparently Fox this morning during the beginning of the testimony had little graphics up next to these guys saying, has been accused of being a never Trumper. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. That's this is part of the reason we are where we're at today.
Because of Fox.
Well, not just Fox, but I've been thinking about that and going back in time, having been at WGN and watched. Yeah. Okay, we know there have been strains of this throughout broadcast history, like Father Coughlin and people like that. But it really got organized. And a friend of mine told me this, and I thought about it and said, yeah, this is true. Paul Harvey, who was, you know, everybody would go, they'd smile and think of Paul Harvey, good day.
Yeah.
And he'd tell a funny little story at the end, but he was bringing the right-wing agenda in, and because he did news and commentary. It wasn't just news anymore, right. It was commentary. Right. So he kind of paved the way, and then Rush came down the road and ran with it, and then suddenly we have whole networks devoted to that side of the story. And I'll tell you how I know this. I mean, everybody knows this, but what brings it home is my radio show. I'm out trying to get it syndicated in other parts of the country.
And when is that radio show?
9 to 11 a.m. Sundays on 1590 WCGO.
And there's an FM, right?
Yeah, 95.9. And you can go to MikeNovak.net as well.
How do you spell that?
N-O-W-A-K.
I'll be damned. Yeah.
And so I go out looking for stations across the country where I think the show will fit. Mm-hmm. There aren't any. Right. They've all got Rush, and they've all got Hannity, and they've all got Levine, and all those characters. So now I realize, well, I'm willing to be in the belly of the beast. That's fine. I'll go on those stations and do what I do and talk green and climate change and watch people's heads explode. Well, that's fine.
If you drive around America and you stay in motels, you will go to some motels where the MSNBC is not even on. Mm-hmm. You can't even get it. But Fox is everywhere, CNN is almost everywhere, but MSNBC they don't even carry it.
Well, this is a favorite topic of mine, for the obvious reason I'm late to the game that Mike Novak has made his entire career at, and Monroe also was in the game of the TV side of it in the 90s, and young Dr. D has been in the game since he was like an infant in a crib. But my little brief experience with radio talk, I got fired for being too liberal for a liberal radio station.
It serves you right.
So... Mike Novak and Monroe Anderson, what's with lefties and liberals?
I got fired for bringing in too much money to the radio station, right, so there we go.
So what's with liberals and lefties? Why are liberals and lefties incapable of supporting a network on radio or podcasting that even approximates Rush Limbaugh? And what
because corporations which support these things are basically conventional and conservative,
right?
All right, and that's where it starts with the corporations.
The liberal media is no such thing as you hear the Trump nuts talking about the liberal media, and they think that the Tribune is part of the liberal media. I mean, they make unless you're Fox or some super right wing propaganda organ, then they think you're liberal.
So. Are you telling me that liberals don't have money? That liberals wouldn't want to listen to a show and then you could get advertising revenue?
No, liberals blew it. When I was in college in the 60s, late 60s, conservative was a dirty word. And what the conservatives did was systematically built this thing up through radio and what have you. And now liberals are dirty work.
Yeah, and it was insidious. It happened slowly. They were playing the long game.
Right.
And suddenly, and you've seen that happen where you look around, you go, oh, well, I guess we have to catch up. Well, now the game is rigged. It's hard to do that. And that's why I keep screaming at the TV, at the two billionaires in the Democratic race, get out of the race and buy a network that you can put.
One of them owns... Bloomberg has...
he's got his media.
Yeah. Media,
but you know, get some of these stations, because people will support it. You know that. Denny, you know that, because you worked at the progressive station Chicago. Those people are so loyal and so desperate for talk that they can listen to and they can relate to. And there are millions of people like that across the country who are stuck with the fare they get. How many different stations do you need to have running Rush Limbaugh in your market at the same time? There are markets that will have 5-6 stations running the same show at the same time.
Wow.
That's nuts.
So you're saying that the people who run the stations themselves are of the right-wing persuasion, and that's what they want to hear?
I don't think the people who run the stations are of the right-wing persuasion. They want to make money, right. Okay?
And they're conservative, but they are crazy white right-wingers. Anything?
No, like they're not the nut jobs.
But okay, this is what you have a situation where
not always, anyway.
You have salesmen, traveling salesmen. You have truckers. Who have they're driving around and they have nothing better to do, and you have these talk shows that are conservative, and they listen to these guys all day long.
And this is why you can't, that 44% stays constant, because they have been brainwashed.
Yes,
they have been brainwashed to accept that liberals are the enemy. It's not even a matter of policy positions anymore. It's just that people who are liberals are bad people, and you can't listen to...
Libtards. That's what they
say. Yeah, I've been called a libtard a few times. Exactly. I'm sure you have, too.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And that's all they got. That's it. It's not about policy. It's about the brainwashing.
Mm.
So how do we get past that? I mean, I watched my dad become brainwashed. I watched my sister become brainwashed. I mean, they have gone down that. I don't even want to ask my brother. I don't want to know what his political leanings are, because I'm afraid what he'll tell me.
Thanksgiving at your house must be a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
You'll love this. I don't go anymore.
Wait, okay? Time out. Are they in Michigan? They're back in Michigan?
Yeah. My brother now lives in the UP, so you can
so
guess.
So here we go. I have to ask you this. Then you grew up in the state of Michigan. You have family in the state of Michigan.
Yep.
The New York Times just ran a poll. It was very controversial. They've done at least two articles on it that I've seen, and it's generated many more articles in the same newspaper that talked about the Trump's popularity in the key swing states of Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania. I don't know if you saw this article, mm-hmm. but Trump was very competitive with whatever candidate throughout there. Now, I could go on and on about how it was biased against Bernie, but let's put that to the side. Based on your knowledge of Michigan, grew up there again.
Yeah.
Not blaming you, but you are from Michigan.
Yeah, but I left it 40 years ago, and I don't recognize the state anymore.
What do you mean?
I mean, the shift to the right has been a little bit terrifying. In fact, my nickname for my home state is Michigan. So... thank you very much. Do we have a rim shot there? If we got one,
just Robert Mueller.
He's got no rim.
Yeah.
I think there's been a swing to the right, and there's been that brainwashing going on. But the even more important is suppression of the vote is a big deal, and just convincing people to come out and vote, and I would say people of color is especially, because they've been treated poorly for so long. Why would they come out? Because they just hear the same old promises every single time, and do they ever see any good results from that? Rarely. Occasionally. You know, this is why Obama was so successful. I mean, he was a middle-of-the-road guy, and I can name half a dozen policies that I disagree with from him, but he sparked that interest, and those people came out and vote. All people, white and black and Hispanic and Asian, because he was was different. Now, it's going to be... I could say... I look at next fall's election, and will we have that person who engages people and has that fires that imagination in the electorate? I don't know that we do.
Mayor Pete? Question mark? No, serious
no,
question
come on
mark.
Now.
Well, it is a serious question.
Yeah.
I think he's the flavor of the month right now.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens in Iowa. But here's the thing. I'm sorry. He's another white guy.
Yeah, no.
He's a young
yeah,
white guy.
Right. Well, and he's gay. That's
and he's gay. And there's,
I have a friend who's gay, Joe English. Mm-hmm. You had him on the show. Mm-hmm. Your show was. Joe, I was talking to him the other day. he would like to see Elizabeth and Pete as a VP. And he says if Pete is her vice president, then 20% of the men, gay men, he says that 10% is nonsense. He said, it's 20%
showing the stereo, okay. Right,
exactly. He said it's going to be suburban husbands who haven't slept with their wives in 10 years.
Are going to come out
to vote for
that.
Right, exactly. I actually think that's a pretty good ticket right there.
When I think about Obama and what he did in 2008. And I say this as a guy who was all fired up for Obama in 2008. I realize that I don't want to say once in a lifetime, but once in a long time situation.
Yeah.
And the Democratic Party cannot expect that to happen again. There's no candidate who has that special mix of charisma and uniqueness that Obama had at that moment in 2008. And I look at all the candidates, been following them very dedicatedly, Monroe. None of them have that. None of them have. So Obama could be vague on every issue. Because it didn't matter what he was talking about. It didn't matter if he wasn't specific. It didn't matter that he was really kind of like a Mitt Romney type in his worldview. What mattered was he just generated, you know, this charisma, and people fell under his spell to a certain degree. And
which Trump is doing for the right.
Yeah. Right now. And so the Democrats are going to beat the Democrats are going to beat the Republicans.
He's the evil Obama. I mean, right. That's yeah, the point. Right. I brought it up earlier.
Yeah.
The dignity. Don't they people recognize that he's petty, he's vindictive? I mean, they don't seem to care on the right whatever happened to character in a presidential candidate? Has that gone away? Does that not count anymore?
No, they think of him as a character, but not having character, but being a character. No, seriously, Trump is Trump. Yeah. Oh,
no, but
would you really want him to be your boss? Would you really want him to live next door?
The people who he happens to be their boss were out.
Yeah.
But no, they're trapped.
I feel that. That in some ways, I can't believe I'm about to say what I'm about to say, so I hope I'm going to say it right. But Donald Trump's attitude of defiance to all the conventions of political behavior, on one level, I appreciate. I have to say that at one level, because I've spent my career, Mike Novak, exposing the inconsistencies of politicians who say one thing and do something else.
Oh, he says one thing and does other things.
I understand that. He's a freaking phony, and he's a fraud,
exactly.
And he's a hypocrite.
Right.
But he breaks and he defies all the rules and all the conventions.
That's because he's a narcissist. He's not doing it for any principled reason at all. He's doing it because he's crazy.
Whatever the reason. He's a crazy lunatic?
Yeah.
Or he's making money off of it?
He's sticking it to the man every day.
Yes,
okay?
He's sticking
and
it to
that,
the man.
And that's
the man that he's sticking it to is me and you.
And them and those idiots who are voting for him.
Yes, that is correct.
Cult. Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they don't care.
In
some instances, they don't know. they haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
But so on one level, I can sort of appreciate it. But on the other level, I'm afraid about where the country's going and the policies that he's enacting by pretending he's sticking it to the man or actually benefiting the man. And so it's pretty obvious he's a fraud and he's hurting the...
All roads lead to Putin.
Well, you know,
that's what Pelosi said. And if you examine everything he's done in the last 3 years, it's absolutely right.
It is true. Yeah. And that's ultimately why we're sitting
here. Wait, time out. Why do you say all roads lead to Putin?
Everything that he has done, breaking up all his policies are Russian. They benefit Russia. Even the Ukraine, this Ukraine situation, benefits Putin, Russia. If you look at what happened in Syria, pulling the
you're talking about on foreign policy issues.
Yeah, foreign, but also
no,
local
no, some
stuff
domestic
too.
Policy.
Well, wait,
some
his major, too. I would say his most significant domestic policy achievement, and I have the word achievement in quotes, is the tax break, which is widely popular with
rich people who
benefited
right,
from
right,
it, okay?
Right.
Which creates a society of oligarchs.
Yeah, exactly, which Russia has.
And leads to the kind leads to the kind of situation we're having here in the city of Chicago, where Lori Lightfoot can't figure out how to raise the money we need to fund our basic obligations because she can't look to the federal government for aid because they pulled out of that business by and large, and they don't have any money anyway, and they're using whatever they have for military, which doesn't benefit the city of Chicago. So that's his great achievement, and it seems as though there are a significant number of Americans that's all that matters to them when it comes to voting. And I don't even blame the working class white people, the uneducated white people without college degrees that you're alluding to, Mike. I don't blame them. I think there's a lot of people in DuPage County on the Gold Coast here in Chicago.
I think it's college educated as well, although they seem to be leaving that camp more and more.
Well, this gets at the question.
Okay, no, this is my theory.
Yeah.
Reagan. Reagan set up this whole greed is good policy, philosophy, mindset. And we've been in it, and we've just gotten greedier and greedier and greedier. And you've gotten the split. Unions are useless now as far as a lot of people are concerned.
Well, they're corrupt.
Of course, and they're corrupt, you know.
I mean, but that's always the argument, is
right,
that the union
right.
is corrupt. And I want to raise my hand and say, so you're telling me that in the scale of things, the union is much more corrupt than
the corporation,
right. That's...
Exactly.
That has cut your pay and added more hours to your day.
No, but Reagan started this, you know, the whole Reaganomics and the whole philosophy on it's good to be rich, and we don't like those and people. There's a welfare queen, and anybody who's not rich is worthless, and it's just grown and grown and entrenched and entrenched, and that's part of where we are today.
Well, and I will also point out that this is one of my favorite themes. I'll take this opportunity to point it out, that Democrats and Republicans approach accusations of corruption in their party in different ways. So, for instance, it's pretty clear from the evidence, a solid case can be made against Donald Trump on the grounds that he was extorting he was trying to get arm twist the president of Ukraine into just having a press conference announcing he was investigating Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, whether he was or he wasn't, just for that political purpose, and he was going to withhold aid to him until he did that. Republicans are responding to that evidence of that with a full court press attack, a counterattack on the people who dare to make the accusations. Here in the state of Illinois, where whenever a Democrat is accused of corruption, that is on a scale, I would say, far less significant than the President of the United States
right.
twisting the arm of a foreign another former politician.
Bribing a foreign president.
We have Democrats
quid pro quo.
Let's pull them out. We're going to remove him from office. This is an outrage.
Yeah.
We join the Republicans in denouncing this. They always go, only in Illinois, only in Chicago would something like this be tolerated. Meanwhile, Republicans are tolerating it in Washington. And it's getting harder and harder. And it's getting harder and harder for me, Monroe, to play that game.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, I'm outraged by what Louis Arroyo did in
by
shaking.
By the way, my representative.
In shaking down. You probably voted for him a million times.
Unfortunately, yeah.
But
correct.
That's an outrage. But you're not going to join me, Republicans?
Well, you know, it's the same.
Tribune?
It's the same.
Not going to join me?
It's the same with
Trump?
Sexual harassment.
That is correct.
It's the same thing.
Yes, you're right. Absolutely the same.
Yeah, standards. You know, and what's amazing here is that, and you just brought it up, it's the first time that that has come up about the Trump administration and what he personally has done and has been accused of by scores of women. We haven't even mentioned the environment and what he is doing with his policies to, in a world where climate change is running rampant and Australia is on fire, California is on fire. We've got a cold snap we've never seen before in November. It's all connected.
All right. Mike Novak and Monroe Anderson in the studio. We're concluding our discussion. Mike, before we went to break, I said that
actually, I have a breaking news here, too. Oh. I just came across my phone. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot offers plan to lower fines and vehicle impoundment for illegal pot possession.
All right, you trying to get my job, pal? That was my update.
Oh, really? Was it?
It was actually, yeah. Yeah. No,
go ahead, Mike, go ahead.
She announced by drawing on a big spleef and...
Yeah, so
that's spliff.
That was in my beloved bright one today.
It's spliff.
Yes,
and I like spleef.
Young Thomas Shuba.
I've heard spliff before.
I think it's from the white suburbs. That comes from.
Right. So, are you with her on that?
On what?
On
you know, we're
reducing
making
the penalties.
Yeah,
me too.
I'm like, let's
good
get,
job, Lori.
Let's enter the 21st century. Can we please do that? Mm. I mean, the state of Colorado hasn't. You know, they haven't sealed off the borders and drummed them out of the union, you know, 3 or 4 years down the road. It seems to be working okay. And it's reality. I don't advise it. Here's what I would say. I don't advise it for youngsters. Because when you're trying to learn stuff and you're in school, it's focus is hard enough. Okay, I would say 21 and above.
Yeah, because there are also theories that if you're young and your brain is developing,
right, exactly,
it does weird things to it.
Mm. Well, I know it really enhanced my college career. I can just tell you that. I was a young scholar. All right, so I'm not going to ask you for gardening tips on growing reefer, Mike Novak.
Although
I was going to ask.
People keep telling me that. They say, so when are you going into the discussion about growing reefer? And I'm thinking... I think it's about time. We probably should.
You really should.
You know, but the laws are complex and differ from state to state as well. So we'll have to see about that.
I don't want to embarrass you, but have you ever grown marijuana?
Yeah. Yeah, I have. Actually,
they're weeds. All you do is put some seeds in a pot.
No, but there's ways of doing it. Like, so there's some guys.
I got to tell you. I'll give you a story. I grew one in a pot I want to say like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was in this pot, and it was this like this big long stem, and it had a few leaves, and I really wasn't paying much attention to it. And I put it outside, and then forgot to water it, and it died. And so I come out. At one point, and the leaves are all yellow, and they're about to fall off. So I went, let's give it a shot. And it was some of the best stuff I'd ever had. I was just like, wow, I should have grown more of this, okay?
Right, exactly.
But that was, I haven't grown it in probably since then. So.
Yeah, which was yesterday. I haven't grown it in at least a week.
I don't know, that may be a new podcast for you, Mike. Mike Novak's pot stories.
No, podcast.
Oh, my God.
There we go.
Get the bong
I bet it's
out.
Already. Somebody's already out there with a podcast. You got to know.
I don't know, man. Right. Go for it. All right, Mike Novak, I want to know what the correlation is between this wretched weather of the last 3 days where it's 20 degrees in early November or 12 degrees even.
My pipes froze.
Monroe's
Did
pipes
really?
Froze.
That is not a weed reference.
Yeah.
Talking about weather.
How do you know?
and a climate change. So please explain the correlation between this horrific cold front and climate change.
Well, if you look at maps of climate change globally, and as I mentioned earlier, Australia is on fire and other places on the planet are really hot. And if you look at maps, you look at the United States and you look at places where the average temperature has gone up. There's actually a spot kind of from our area down to the deep south that has been relatively stable. And it's due to various factors involving where they are on the continent, on the North American continent. But it's an anomaly. There's basically no other areas on the planet that are like that. So what we're stuck with here is, and Monroe was mentioning this during the break, and you've seen it, you know, the who was it? Oklahoma senator brought the, Inhofe brought the snowball into Congress. Mm-hmm. And said, well, where's your global warming? Yeah. And you just want to take the snowball in his face. But you can't look at our area, although part of it has to do with climate change affecting jet streams and how they at one point were in a more orderly fashion around the globe. And now it's, everything's breaking loose. They had the heat wave from Europe go up into Greenland and a massive amount of ice melt during the summer. You have to look at the planet as a whole. Mm-hmm. That's why it's climate change and not weather change. You can have weather change from one day to the next. You have to take the temperature all over the planet. You can't just cherry pick our area. And we have had some cooler winters and springs. I mean, we had the cool wet spring, but that's also part of climate change. The idea that we're going to get more rain in certain parts of the country and less in others. I mean, look at the devastation to the farmers in Illinois and Indiana and Missouri this year because they couldn't get the, well, Nebraska was underwater in February and March. That's all part of climate change too. It isn't just the planet heating up. It's everything else that's going with it. And you have to take the numbers from the entire planet. And when you do, you realize we just had the hottest October on record. We keep setting record after record after record. And this is the thing that really scares the heck out of me, is that we're fighting these stupid battles. And I don't mean it's stupid that we have impeachment hearings, because I would impeach the guy just for what he's done to our climate and what he's done to our environment.
How many ways could you impeach him?
I know. I don't know. But I had a guy on my show. Have you ever heard of Guy McPherson? He's a University of Arizona professor emeritus. Denny, he might have been on the show when you were working with me.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember hearing that name.
Yeah. He's the guy.
He might go back.
He's got a blog that is titled Nature Bats Last, which should appeal to you. Mm-hmm. And you should go read it, mm-hmm. because he's the guy who says, we're done. I've looked at the numbers now for 15 years. There's nothing we can do. Enjoy the rest of your life. It's going to be short and painful. And he is very controversial. I had him on my show recently, and you can't believe the podcast numbers I got from that guy, because he's really controversial, but people are paying attention to the guy as well. He says the planet should be in hospice right now. That's how bad it is. And yet, here we are dithering. Yeah. And having these nut jobs put in charge of the EPA and pulling out of the Paris Accord, when what we should be doing is having a Manhattan Project approach to this, where we drop everything else we're doing on this planet and figure out how to fix this, and whether it's fixed, you know, even if it is fixable, and we don't know that it is at this point. So that's kind of my short take on things, is I can't focus on this every hour of every day. Some people do. In fact, McPherson lost his career. His life is in a mess. People call him out, and he's become, in some circles, a pariah. But other people go, yeah, no, he's absolutely right, and we need to really address this. But are we addressing it? No, we're not even coming close to it. We are not even in the ballpark here. So we can continue to print the numbers and say this was the hottest August, it was the hottest September, it was the hottest October. Who's paying attention? It's just numbers to some people. It's just a headline, and then they move on to, you know, how bad the bears are, yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, I don't understand why TV weathermen on every station in every city don't say when we have these weather extremes is climate change. I mean, this is how, they
should. Well, I have an answer to that because my meteorologist, Rick DeMaio, who's on my program every week and has been in Chicago now forever.
Wait, what's the days on and the time of that show again?
I believe it's 9 to 11 a.m. Sunday mornings on 1590 WCGO.
And there's a way on the FM, too,
right? 95.9, if I'm not mistaken.
Holy cow.
Oh, did I mention there's podcasts at MikeNovak.net, N-O-W-A-K.net.
Okay, yeah. Wow.
But Rick is one of the few guys who will come on the air and call out weathercasters. Some of them are meteorologists and some of them aren't. And he says they really do need to be talking about this. Now, part of it is time considerations because you watch local news and
they spend 5 minutes on the news. They go from, you look at WGN or WLS or CBS, any of them. They spend this in
but they need to do it every day.
But Monroe, you want weathermen to the,
and we're not talking about the lefty underground.
Yeah, we're not talking about
right,
yeah. You want these weather broadcasters to stick their neck out on the line. And what Mike was just
saying.
Why
don't they? If we're not going to be around, if it's this dire, they need to. Okay,
but you got to worry about tomorrow. And see, this is the consequence, the effectiveness of what Trump has done and the right has done and what the Republican Party has done. So you take something like climate change, and Mike Novak just brilliantly spelled out the essence of what's going on. And it's pretty much indisputable among scientists, I think 99%, something like that. And yet
that is called into question. So, well, what about the 3% who disagree? So there's
paid by the oil company.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so imagine if some guy from Channel 7 or Channel 5 started every day saying, well, folks, here, get rid of Exhibit A on climate change.
Well, no, they don't have to do it every day, just when these records are hit, when this extreme weather comes.
Then they'll get hit with phone calls from the right saying that they're making political statements on what should be the weather report, and they resent this, and the station will feel pressure.
It's no longer a political statement. It's a statement of fact. 97% of the scientists in the world say it's a political.
I agree with you. It's but fact. That's not, I'm just telling you the way the world of journalism works.
No, Ben is right. If Sean Spicer could still be on Dancing with the Stars.
He just got voted off. But there,
oh, he did?
He got, yeah, that's a classic.
You know
case.
Why he brought up climate change? That's why. He got voted off.
That's correct.
That is a classic. That is a classic case. And we'll close with that.
That is a man who should be a pariah. Really,
Sean Spicer ginned up a revolt against meritocracy. He made it a political vote. Vote for me. It's a vote for Trump. If I get voted off a dance contest, it'll be like the liberals will win. And all these people weighed in and voted for the guy who was a bad dancer.
Oh, he's badder than bad.
He's so bad. Right. And so there you go. You just proved the point. When 44% is whatever the number you gave, Mike.
97.
No, 44% of the country will say whatever Donald Trump tells them to say.
Yeah.
Then if Weatherman Billy Bob on Channel 5.
I love, that's my favorite Weatherman. Weatherman says, Billy Bob
says.
Don't say nothing bad about him.
Says that this 20 degree temperature in early November is a result of climate change. The phone calls will come in.
Except, as DeMaio points out, Skilling does, but he's the only one, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he does.
But he is such a weather nerd and an institution.
So you can't
right
believe
now.
Him because that's all he cares about,
yeah, right? Exactly, right. No, you know, so no. You know him. You believe him for that reason because, yeah. I mean, he goes through such great and plus, he is really just a decent human being. Yeah.
Plus, yeah, man, look how Trump trying to fire those meteorologists for the federal government and put them under pressure because they wouldn't say that.
Because of the Sharpie incident?
Hurricane was coming up.
I mean, that was
Alabama.
You're talking impeachment? That's a federal offense. He committed a federal offense by using the Sharpie. Oh, how many federal offenses can this guy commit and still remain president?
And since we didn't talk enough Trump, he also was going to fire the internal general for allowing the whistleblower to
the inspector general.
The inspector general.
Yeah.
For allowing the whistleblower to come forward. He was planning on firing him.
Well,
and he's supposed to be independent.
Yeah. Yeah, the Inspector General is supposed to be independent.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And, we do have an update before we roll out of here. Oh. Well, first off,
no collusion.
Okay.
hoax.
Wally Phillips.
Go ahead. Yeah, come on. The next Wally Phillips here. All right, we have an update here. It's an Illinois congressional election update. Ooh. Now, last election, the third congressional race between Dino, Dan Lipinski, and Marie Newman was one of the closest in the country. Dino, Dan barely won, just barely. Marie Newman is back for the rematch, but she's not the only one running. Last time we checked, Lipinski was facing three, count them three, Democratic challengers, but this just in.
Abe Matthews.
The number is now down to two.
Uh-oh.
Democratic hopeful Abe Matthews dropped his primary bid to unseat Dan Lipinski and endorsed Marie Newman.
That's correct.
Matthews said in a Tuesday statement, quote, to the people of the 3rd District, my friends and neighbors, I will never stop fighting for you all. I will not stop fighting for you. Those who know me best know I am a much better advocate for others than I am for myself. In recognition of this, and after consultation with my family, I withdraw my name for consideration for Congress in Illinois' 3rd Congressional District. Marie Newman still in the race. And we're now down to three.
All right, very good. Thank you for that update.
The thing we love about Lipinski is he did it on his own. He
pulled himself up by daddy's bootstraps.
Like the Arroyo family, yeah. Okay.
Or like the Trump.
Or like the Trump family. Yes, yeah. Indeed. And they are all self-starters.
We yell at our own here on this show, right?
Yeah, we rip Democrats too.
Yep.
Danny Lipinski is the son of William Lipinski, who, of course, was the congressman before young Daniel. He retired and then handed it off to his son. So and just following on a great tradition.
It's called the family business.
The family business. Exactly. All right. Michael Novak, thank you very much. Monroe Anderson, thank you very much. And, of course, the man, the myth, the legend. And as Mike Novak knows, back home in downstate Alton, they call him White Lightning. Yeah, they call him White Lightning. Give yourself a raise. Take it out of petty cash. See you tomorrow, everybody.
Hey, and remember, you can download previous Ben Jarofsky shows and Benny J. bonus interviews at both Chicago Sun-Times and Chicago Reader websites, chicago.suntimes.com, chicagoreader.com, and wherever else you download podcasts. And hey, downloaders, we live stream this program. It's true. Tuesdays through Fridays, 1 until 3 p.m. Central Time, once again at both Chicago Sun-Times and Chicago Reader websites, the Chicago Sun-Times YouTube channel. And yeah, that's about it. So go check that out if you ever wonder what it's like to watch the video. Go check it out. We'll see Oh, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Benny J Show. B-E-N-N-Y, the letter J Show. See you tomorrow.